Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. Here's Ken Levine.
Thank you, Randy Thomas. Boy, I have a real professional announcer introducing me. Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. This is episode 15, and Randy, by the way, is also going to be my guest this week. She is a voiceover artist, and among her many assignments, she was the booth announcer for the 2017 Academy Awards. So we will find out all of the behind-the-scenes inside story on what really happened with that crazy ending when Warren Beatty couldn't figure out how to read a card, and of course Faye Dunaway was even dumber. We'll talk to her about that and a career in voiceover work, because once you get in, if you have the talent and you have the voice, you can make a lot of money just by working 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Anyway, we'll be talking to Randy about that. Also, I'm going to be talking about actors having to do promos. So a lot of good stuff coming up. This is episode 15 of
Hollywood and Levine.
From time to time, sitcom actors are asked to do promos, either for the network or for local stations. And here are a couple of stories about shows that I was involved with. First of all, this is a MASH story. Season 7, I believe, is when 20th Century Fox, the company that produced MASH, rolled out the show into syndication. That September, it was going to be seen on 215 different local stations around the country. So one day after filming, they asked a number of the actors to stay behind and record promos for all 215 stations. And after a while, it just became alphabet soup. And you're watching these actors absolutely turn to mush. You know, you have Alan Alda going, "Hi, this is Alan Alda, and you're watching WSBK Kenosha. Stay tuned for Eyewitness News with Noam Pitlick and Susie Creamcheese." And, "Hi, this is Alan Alda. You're watching KLLZ Channel 38, Pittsfield. Coming up, the Action Central News Team with Fred Mertz and Eleanor Rigby." Well, you can imagine, after doing 15 of these, after doing 60 of these, after doing 120 of these, and still having 100 more to go, that the actors, like I said, were absolutely fried. And they had to do this over really just a couple of days. They were like crawling out of the studio that day. So that was a MASH story. And this is a story about Cheers. This is the first year of Cheers. And NBC came to the cast and wanted them to do some promos for the network. And as opposed to MASH, where they were just audio promos that you would hear over the closing credits of the show, for this, the actors were going to be on camera. And this was season one, and I remember it was a particularly complicated episode, and we were there pretty late. There were a lot of pickups, and we finally finished filming the episode probably around 11:30, quarter of 12, something like that, and we still had all of these promos to go. And first was Shelley Long, and they gave her the list of what she had to say, and they put her in front of the camera, and they had her look right into the camera and say, "Monday night is going to be great on NBC. Tuesday night is going to be great on NBC. So she did a number of these promos, and she did a pretty nice job of it. And then it was time for Nick Colasanto, who played the coach, to do these promos. Now, what can I say about Nick Colasanto? I loved the man, absolutely loved him, and there was a good deal of the coach in Nick Colasanto. He always had trouble with lines. There were coach lines hidden underneath the bar or behind the bar, lines that, you know, for 11 years stayed there. But we said to the producer, you know, don't just give him a sheet of paper and have him do it. Probably the best thing to do is for you to be just off camera and feeding him the lines one by one. And they said, okay. So they gave him the first one, and they said, Thursday night is going to be great on NBC. And Nick looks right into the camera and goes, Thursday night is going to be great on NBC. We all went, wow, wow, he did a great job. He did a better job than Shelley, and Shelley's very professional. We were very impressed, and so was the NBC director. So he moved on. Friday night is going to be great on NBC. Nick looks into the camera and goes, Friday night is going to be great on NBC. And the director said, again. And Nick looks right into the camera and says, again. That's pretty much Nick Colasanto. When we return, we will meet Randy Thomas and find out what really did happen behind the scenes at the Oscar cast. But before we get to Randy, I want to introduce you to my newest sponsor, Wink. W-I-N-C, which is the world's first personalized wine club. Now, have you ever been in the wine aisle at your local store and you're just like staring at the massive selection of wine with no idea which bottle to choose? You just know, you know, don't go with the square bottles because that's usually Manischewitz. But most of us will go with a bottle that has the best-looking label and hope that it's going to be good. Well, the days of playing Russian roulette with your wine selections are over. Wink, and it is spelled W-I-N-C, is a revolutionary new wine club that takes the guesswork out of choosing your wine. They have a very simple 6-question palate quiz that will match you with delicious, high-quality wine that you are guaranteed to love. And the best part is that Wink will actually ship your wine straight to your door. No more going to the store and getting lost in the wine aisle. Want to try it? Well, here's an introductory offer to listeners of this podcast. You just go to wink.com, and again, that is W-I-N-C.com, and then type in /Hollywood and get $22 off of your first order. And it gets even better because I know you all hate paying for shipping, so Wink will actually pay for your shipping on orders of 4 bottles or more. So, once again, go to wink.com, type in /Hollywood, and get $22 off your first order right now. That is wink.com/Hollywood. I think I'm going to pour myself something right now. Hollywood and Levine. Randy Thomas makes her living with her voice. How many of you remember Hooked on Phonics? That was a radio campaign that you heard like on every station every hour for like 5 years. And Randy Thomas was the voice of Hooked on Phonics. She has also been the booth announcer for 8 Academy Award shows, including the one this last year. She's done 5 Emmy Award shows, and she's done 19 Tony Award shows. She's also been the voice of Entertainment Tonight, done a ton of commercials. She's one of the best and one of the most successful voiceover artists around. And she really has a specialty in doing these live broadcasts. I mean, it's one thing to go in a studio and record a commercial and get a chance to do it over and over and over again. Well, she is on live television, seen or heard, in her case, by a billion people when she's doing the Academy Awards, and she's got only one chance to get it right. Recently, I had a chance to sit down and talk with Randy Thomas, and here's that conversation. Well, first I have to ask you about the Oscars, because you were there this year, and with the fiasco that happened at the end, I want the inside dish as to what it was like. What were you hearing in your headphones from the director and producer and everyone else when that whole brouhaha took place?
Wasting no time getting right into the juicy stuff.
That's right.
So the Oscars, yeah, you call it a fiasco. I guess in the moment it certainly was. I thought it made for fascinating live television. Thankfully, I had just finished my last live announce because we had heard that it was La La Land.
And right, you did your thing for La La Land.
I said, with a record 14 nominations, tonight La La Land picks up 7 Academy Awards for blah, 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 and Best Picture. And I thought, okay. And then a minute into it, by the time they got on stage, Tina Cannizzaro DeBone, who works with me handling all the scripts, she writes all the winner walk-ups. She's like, what's happening? There's something going on. And we're like, oh, my God, what the? And a lot of WTF. But what we weren't hearing a lot in our headphones, I think they were trying to assess what was happening. You know, is Moon, you know, who's the winner? Moonlight's the winner. Okay. You know, and it was kind of calm and matter of fact because it was all unfolding in real time on the stage. And we didn't have any more information than what was happening live. I was ready to go with my Moonlight walk up had they called for it. But really, the action was on the stage. And it was just an incredible moment, I thought. Jordan Horowitz just stepped up to the plate. We didn't win, Moonlight. You won. Come on up here. Like, whoa.
So when it was over, did anyone in the truck have a stroke or a heart attack?
It was just very quiet. I think he may have turned off the PL. I don't remember really hearing anything. I think we were all literally just gobsmacked. It had never happened. We thought we had just completed a pretty awesome show. I know I had done my
best. It was a good
best.
Show this year, yeah.
I thought Jimmy Kimmel was great, and we were about to hang it up, and then it changed everything, the whole vibe. I went to the hotel next door, had a vodka, and gotten an Uber and went home. I was done. I was over it.
You didn't go to the La La Land party, huh?
No parties. And I'm sure being at them was just, that was probably all people talked about.
Okay, so where were you located? I mean, did you have some kind of a booth? Were you in a truck across the street? I remember talking to Nielsen Ross, who once did the Emmys, who said he was in a broom closet one year. Where do they actually situate
you? I've been in worse. I'm actually in a Jelco, one of those trailer trucks behind the Dolby.
Okay.
There's the big truck that the director and everybody from the production is in. And as the announcer, I'm in another truck. We're watching it on a screen just like you are at home. And that's it. It's not a very sexy job, the nuts and bolts of how I do what I do, but it is fun to be a part of these amazing broadcasts.
So are you wearing a Versace gown, or are you wearing jeans and a halter top?
Very funny. How did you know? I actually, this year, I was hoping to get a dress to wear, and then I would have walked the red carpet because Entertainment Tonight was going to shoot me. And I didn't get a dress. That didn't happen. So I thought, I'm just going to wear black pants and a black top, and I definitely couldn't go on the red carpet or to a ball. And it was almost like, how did she know this was the year? Don't even bother wearing the dress, because I didn't have anything to wear. So I didn't even try to go to a party.
So how do you prepare for the Oscars? I guess a big thing is learning how to pronounce each and every name. There's a lot of foreign names. It has to be kind of difficult.
Incredible, especially this year, a tremendous amount. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty good at phonetics, as you may remember.
Yes. Hooked on phonics. This is the Hooked on Phonics girl.
Call 1-800-ABCDEFG. So I can look at names. Sometimes when they give me a phonetic, it actually messes with my mind. I can almost pick out the phonetics of a lot of names, and I ask them to put the phonetic to the side so that I can just read more fluidly. This year, I was really lucky. The Academy had asked me to do the nominations. So this is a really fun thing I did, Ken.
Okay.
I showed up the eve before the nominations are announced at 5:20 in the morning Pacific time. I was invited to check into the Academy offices on Wilshire. I had to hand over my phone, bring my pillow and a blanket. I went upstairs and I got the list. I saw who the nominees were.
So you knew before everybody.
Which was why they wouldn't let me leave. I had to spend the night. Seriously. Even the head of the Academy, Cheryl Boone Isaacs, they didn't tell her who the winners were or who the nominees were.
Right.
She just read all of the nominees. And then they picked out the true nominees. That way she was able to leave. Do you know what I mean? All the potential nominees.
Right,
right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty interesting. So I got to spend the night with one of the Academy librarians who sat with me as we went through the pronunciation of every nominee for that next morning. So sitting with him for at least an hour or two, we got through them all. I had a somewhat of a familiarity, but then there were lots of names that
Casey Affleck.
Really?
That was your eighth one.
My eighth Academy Award.
So, do you get nervous before each broadcast? Did you originally, but now you don't? Do you get all pumped up? What's it like at 4:59 p.m. when you're going on live to a billion people in 1 minute?
Wow. Well, I started out in radio, so there's a comfort factor for me that when I'm going to speak that I'm live and I'm used to hearing people hearing me live. So that's been one of those things that I wasn't super nervous about. Actually, the day of the show and when we're going live and you're watching everyone arrive in their gowns, the biggest celebrities and directors and producers in the world are all in that room. The room makes me a little... But yet, I think what happens for me is it's a very sobering thing to see exactly what it takes to make an Academy Awards happen. All of the people that built the sets and got us to that moment. And then once the show goes live, every lighting guy, camera guy, graphics, everyone has to do their job perfectly to have a great show. So I really relate to being one of the cogs in the wheel. Like, it's not me. I'm just someone else that has to do their job perfectly to make a great show. And so I embrace that and I just go for it, because you know, you put your head down and you look up, it's almost 4 hours later.
Have you ever messed up?
Sure. One year, and I can't remember the name, it was this foreign film, and it was a documentary, and they won, and when I said his name, I knew I had mispronounced it. And even though no one in the world would have known that I mispronounced this first-time documentary filmmaker that
was
winning.
His wife knew, yeah.
And it was a couple. And I thought, his mother's listening. I have to say it right. So I just backed up and I said, that's, you know, David Altshuler or whatever it was, you know. And I corrected it and I moved forward. So if you can catch one as it's happening... that's one way. For me, it was good, because even though I screwed up what otherwise would have been a great show, I felt really good that I honored that person in that moment.
You have also been the voice of, I think, the best award show and probably the least watched award show, And that is the Tonys. And you've done that for what, 19 straight years?
Yeah, this will be my 19th year going back June 11th to Radio City. It's the best show. If you're ever in New York during Tony's time, you have to let me know because I'll bring you in for the rehearsal on Sunday morning.
Cool.
That is unbelievable. It's the full show. Every performance comes through. You know, here in L.A., there's something about the way that the actors here work. In New York, they're all part of this family, and they're all working 8 shows a week, and comes time for the Tonys, they're all in, and they love it. It's a room filled with love. They're all performing at their best. If they don't win, they're still happy because it's someone they just were with in a different show, and they love them, and it's really an incredible show. And Ricky Kirshner and Glenn Weiss, Ricky's the producer, and Glenn, they co-produce, but Glenn directs it. They're an amazing team. Every year they want to raise the bar on those openings for the show. And they seem to accomplish it.
Get a chance to hang out with Hugh Jackman and people like that?
I have met Hugh and his lovely wife. And I got to meet, you know, when we were doing the show after Lin-Manuel Miranda won for In the Heights the next year, he was just hanging out with us because he was writing the rap closing
for Neil Patrick. Yeah.
So, and, you know, he's just Lin. He's just hanging out. You know, doesn't look any different than anyone in the production crew. You know, he doesn't take himself too seriously. The nicest guy in the world. So, yeah, I love the Tony Awards. It's been a very special show in my life.
Have you ever been at a restaurant and you're ordering and the waiter goes, "Boy, I know that voice." It's never been recognized.
Only if I'm really trying. I'll have the steak au poivre. I don't know.
I'm getting very excited. So you mentioned that you started in radio. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, because a lot of people in radio eventually want to go on and do voiceover work, but when you do, the first thing they teach you is to forget everything you've learned in radio, right?
It's true. But for me, because I happen to find my niche in live announce, you know, everything I learned in radio works for me. And actually doing promo, I think, works for me, just having that radio background. But it's true, in the world of voiceover, they want an actor. They don't want an announcer. They're making it more and more clear every day.
Now, you had spent a lot of time, you lived in Fort Myers, Florida. Mm-hmm. You figure everybody's got to be in either New York or Los Angeles. You're here in L.A., how come you decided to make the move?
Wow. Well, you know, it's I had a daughter later in life. We have one child, my husband and I. We're going on 33 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're going to wait and celebrate, not in June, but in the fall. We're going to do our 33 and a third.
So, old album rock.
That's true. You'll have
couple.
To bring
yes.
vinyl and come, mm-hmm. okay? So, so my daughter was born in 1997, and in 2000, we had built a home on the Gulf Coast of Florida. By 2003, she had finished kindergarten, and I thought, you know what? It's a digital world. Don LaFontaine was able to no longer get in a limo to go record his trailers and promos, and this thing called ISDN came along, and it allowed everyone to work from home. And I had an idea that I could leave L.A., move to Florida via ISDN, and continue to work. And I moved to Florida, and within a year, Entertainment Tonight called me. And I was under contract with them for 9 years, working from Fort Myers, because they would need a voiceover at 7 a.m. Pacific time, but it was 10 a.m. on the East Coast.
Sweet.
So it worked out. No yeah. L.A. VO person wants to be at the mic at 7 a.m.
So I'll do it.
Right? So it worked out for me, and I still work for them from time to time, but everything is changing. You know, those big shows don't seem to come along as often. There's a lot more little work that you have to take now as a voice actor, especially if you excel in what I do, which is promo and live announce. But I decided to come back because that little girl that we took out of kindergarten is now a sophomore at USC. So she's here, and I am that helicopter mom. You know, I'm here. Wherever she is, I want to be. And leaving Florida was a good thing. It's been
a good
year
thing
so
she
far.
didn't go to Kansas.
Really? I think I'd have stayed in Florida if she went to Kansas.
Now, a lot of people want to get into voiceover work, and you teach voiceover. Some basic tips for people who say, hey, I think I got a great voice. Let me go into voiceover work.
Well, I think you have to first get a professional assessment of the vocal quality that you have and what your range might be, and if you really wanted to do this work, where you might be best suited. You know, there's animation, people who have funny voices or can do different types of character things, animation and video games. If you do promo, that's more that promo trailer. It's really specific messaging.
In that, a world.
Yes. And it also, tonight, on an all-new episode, you know, it's that sort of thing. So that's a different skill set than the people that stand in front of a microphone and do commercials, and they're a different person every time. So you have to figure out what area of voiceover. There's a ton of online narration. Now, if I had come out of, say, you know, the Jet Propulsion Labs, and I was already retired, but I had a young voice and I had taken care of myself, there is so much online narration that is that technical that you could literally have a second career.
Yeah, you know, it used to be that you needed that big, deep voice.
Yeah.
And now,
not about
clowns like me can even get
yes,
a gig.
You too can also have a career in voiceover.
I sound young.
You do. Don't you feel that that is one of your benefits of living this young mental lifestyle?
I think so too. It's a strength now. It wasn't when I was young and everybody wanted those deep voices.
Right.
But
you do
it
sports
is now.
Announcing, right?
Yeah, I know. Even with this voice.
Because you're in it. You know, you're telling stories. You're keeping us interested in the game. So it's really not about a type of voice anymore. It's about what would really fulfill you, what kind of voice, because it's not easy and it's very competitive. But if you find that you have a great need to be heard and you have an avenue of voiceover that you'd like to pursue, you know, there are lots of people that can help you. I have an annual event called Voiceover Mastery, which sometimes that sounds intimidating, like, oh, do I have to be a master to come? No, I bring the masters to Voiceover Mastery. And some people can benefit from being a fly on the wall, you know, and learn a great deal that way. Other people really need a lot of one-on-one training. Other people do well in group training. So it depends on, you know, what their goals are, what their budget is. You have to create demos. There's a big commitment to wanting to have a career in voiceover, learning how to market yourself and do all of those things once you have a demo in place and once you've trained enough to say, yes, I'm going to do this. And then you also have a home studio where you've learned how to record, edit, and, you know, send audio back to clients. There's a lot that goes into it, but I think it's... You know, I think it's a great way to make a living.
Well, you certainly have an enthusiasm. It comes through in your voice.
It does.
If somebody wants to inquire about that that weekend class, how would they do it?
Oh, great. Well, randythomasvo.com is my website. So that's Randy, RANDYTHOMAS, VO for voiceover.com is my website. And Randy Thomas Presents takes you to the Voiceover Mastery site, and you can see. But I think there's actually going to be a button on my website that'll take you there. They could follow me on Twitter, Randy Thomas VO, and my Instagram is Randy Thomas VO, trying to keep the brand consistent.
Well, I follow you. Thank you very much for the visit. Now, normally I end a segment by saying, coming up more on Hollywood and Levine, but I'll let you do it.
Coming up next, more on Hollywood and Levine.
So that will do it for this edition, episode 15. Thanks very much to Adam Butler, to Susie Meister-Butler, Howard Hoffman, John Wolfert, and Randy Thomas, and of course you guys for listening. Once again, if you haven't already, please subscribe. And I know it's shameless, but they tell me it's very important. If you could see it within your heart to give this podcast a 5-star review, I sure would appreciate it. I will see you again next time. Thanks so much for listening.